Friends, you have heard the reading and you have a printout of that in your hand from Ajitan Vedic. What does it say? H.P. Blavatsky, who was the accredited messenger from the White Lodge of Masters, through whom the elder brothers gave theosophy to the world. She was the mouthpiece of those great beings. And she herself has written in this particular piece her own experience of finding out who, where and what is God. And it clearly indicates that man's spirit proves God's spirit. And the last sentence again, in the very first paragraph says, prove the soul of man by his wondrous powers, you have proved God. Because man is a microcosm or the great macrocosm. What powers and attributes and poor faculties and forces that attribute to deity in nature are in man, we will see as we go about. But our title today is Our God and Other Gods. Before we can see whether there is a God or multiplicity of gods or the God, we will have to find out what is the concept of God generally accepted. There is an interesting there was about 65 years back there was a seminar in London. The subject was, is God personal, impersonal or suprapersonal? And eminent students of philosophy, thinkers and great Christian scholars took part in that. And some of it came in the Review of Religions. One of the most revered theologian, Reverend Dr. Alfred E. Garvey, who was the principal emeritus of New College, London. In the Review of Religions, he wrote about what he talked in that meeting. To speak of God, please note this very carefully, a theologian speaking. To speak of God as a person, as an individual personality, is to ignore this relation of God to the universe. He is not, he is putting the word he, one among the many. This is our concept, see, that Jesus is the only Son of God. But one in whom the many subsist, from whom they derive, and on whom they depend for their existence. This is what he wrote. He would not accept the impersonality of God. For he said in his lecture later on which there is a comment in the early theosophical movement, that if you accept the impersonality of God, it does not satisfy the needs of man. As if there is someone there who has to satisfy the needs of man, because man is incapable of doing anything. Because he is born in sin. Imperfectibility inherent in him, unfortunate. This is the whole concept. Therefore, man needs a theological crutch to lean upon, to be a servant and savior of God. Anyway, now let's see, what is the general understanding of God? And then, it's also for later on, see, the comment goes on to say that if the God is there in the universe, imminent, unless it is here, you won't be able to recognize the God. Therefore, there are two aspects. One is the imminent aspect of the deity in the universe. The other, transcendental aspect, on which you cannot speculate. We will come to the teaching later. Now, what is the majority opinion of people? Majority of mankind always believed in God. But if you ask them, what or who or what is God, it's mysterious to you. It's a mystery to them. Because what has happened is, these people have a hazy and confused opinion about God, understanding of God. With the result, seldom you find in man's action any kind of divine quality exhibited. Because what has happened is, he has no time to reflect upon who, what, where is God, why is he here, and what is it, you see, that makes him evolve. Then what is it? Then is there any purpose in life?
But he is too busy
with his personal life, sensuous life, identifying himself with the Nama Rupa, the physical body and the events. Therefore, conditioned by pain and pleasures, between which he oscillates all the time and blaming somebody else for his pain and sorrow. This happens throughout because he forgets that the only thing is to earn a livelihood, to feed the baby. Failing to realize there is something more, the soul to be fed. Therefore he doesn't bother to look. He doesn't have time. But yet, does he look around and see what is it makes the birds fly? How is it? What is make that makes the trees and plants to grow? What is it that makes the sun, moon and stars to be rhythmic, revolving all the time? What is it makes man, whose mouth is the logos, very verbum, the messengers, words are messengers of God, to speak as well as to curse? They said Caliban was taught to speak, but he began to curse. What are we doing? What is it makes a materialist, an atheist, to deny the existence of God? To deny divine spirit. The one divine intelligence pervades the entire universe which sustains everything. It is that power which can be used, misused and abused. It is that power which makes the birds fly, the trees to grow, the cyclic turn of seasons. You may call it whatever it is. It is one intelligence. Now, if you understand this, then we have in the quotation the same thing coming up. Here, see here, the very first quotation in your handout. A man's idea of God is an image of blinding light that he sees reflected in the concave mirror of his own heart. For a person who is able to see, but a person who is blind totally and is only involved in sensuous nature, he won't be able to see. Yet, this is not a very true God. God but only his reflection. It is just like image in a mirror. That's not real. His glory is there, but it is the light of his own spirit that the man sees, that he fails to see, unfortunately. And it is all he can bear to look upon. The clearer the image, the mirror, the brighter will be the divine image. That means, what is an image? It's a lower mind which collected dust over various years through his own living. And the other one, from same Isis unveiled, we have. Our ego, that which lives and thinks and feels independently of us, it's not a personal man piece. Do you understand? Our ego, that which lives and thinks and feels independently of us, in our mortal casket, in our ill sheet in this body, does more than believe. That means we have to awaken the higher self so that it can perceive and that can percolate through our physical brain to us. It knows that there exists a God in nature, but a sole and invincible artificer of all lives in us, all lives in us, and as we live in him, no dogmatic faith or exact science is able to approve that intuitional feeling inherent in man when he has fully realized it himself. Now, having seen this, see, we have to understand God is neither a male nor a female. Unfortunately, the man has created in his own image God. Who has seen God? Who has come and told us that is the image of God? Nobody. What does the Rig Veda say? The Rig Veda says, Ekam Sat Vipraha Bahudha Vadanti. That means there is one reality. They don't say it's God and God. One reality. The great wise ones speak of it differently. Because each one can express his own, you see, experience as what he has seen. They bow down in reverence and silence in front of the creator, which is only a reflection. No, I haven't seen this. Therefore, nobody has come and told us what is the image of form. It's formless. How can you describe the formless as form? Now, you see, here's an interesting thing comes here. One of the master writes, the God of the theologians is simply imaginary power. It may be shocking. Our chief aim is to deliver humanity of this nightmare, to teach man virtue for its own sake, and to walk in life relying on himself instead of leaning on a theological crutch that for countless ages was the direct cause of all kinds of miseries, of nearly all kinds of human misery, is the master writes. See how placing our faith in a personal God idea can ruin us. Then you see, but H.P. goes on to point out, his theosophy points out that although man has very little time to turn within to find out who he is, yet there have been elder brothers of humanity down the ages who have been working secretly behind the scenes in order to protect humanity, in order to keep the torch of truth across the ages. They carry on. And these people have left clear footprints on the sands of time for those of us who are sincere in seeking the truth. And they point out very clearly, to seek the truth, to know what man is, what God is, yes, look within, not outside of it. Now, let's go back to the title, to find out our God and other gods. Are there one God, a God, or the God, or multiplicity of gods? Let's see. See, some of these people who, see, of the same community gathered together, they talk about our God. Just like it is undesirable, in fact. Some of us, you see, we belong to the same caste. Our caste, we say. There is only one caste, humanity. But, I mean, even students of theosophy make this mistake. Our caste. We start talking in our mother tongue. Fail to realize there are other people who don't speak your mother tongue. But all this happens. But in say, well, we have tolerated all. But in the case, yes, if you see, when all the people are there, of the same community, they think of our books, they talk about our God, and thinking that everybody is there, meaning the same by the term. But when other communities are there, what happens? One fellow says, my God, other fellow says, my God, but multiplicity of gods. And when he come, and each one thinks that his own conception of God is the true one, and everything else is false. Therefore, when they become bigots and fanatic, then quarrels begin. We are witnessing, not only in India, abroad also, Middle East, Far East, everywhere. This kind of, you see, religions coming in, quarreling with each other. What for? Humanity is one. There is one religion, humanity. It's man, it's a religion. It's a man only divides from, the religion divides man from man. Instead of uniting them all into one whole. Re-legerate, to bind back humanity in one whole. What are we doing? When you say Hindu, you are not a Muslim, you are not a Christian. You are not a Jew. This is what has happened. In the name of religion, wars have been fought. Between people belonging to the same community who worship the same God, each one prayed to the God to be vanquished their opponent. Both of them will be vanquished. Because the same God, you know, when you pray, he will give you. Then this is the kind of a thing. Then what is God? If you ask people, what is your concept of God? They will be very hazy and confused. It's the very highest. Further, they will try to give all kinds of arguments. I mean, whatever you can have in the dictionary, from A to Z. Yes, they're very all merciful, sustains all beings, eternal, infinite, boundless, all merciful, kind. But it's a being. See, they stick to the particular, the personal God idea. The moment you ask them questions, then you will find this concept of personal God idea, personality, is logical and philosophical errors and fallacies. A rational man, unfortunately, we have been following what our forefathers did, or guided by our priests and puja. This is what has happened because we don't have time to reflect, to find out who we are, what is God. Unfortunate, isn't it? We are all of them guided by either church, savior, so that you can deal in the craft. Is it not below the dignity of man that you expect somebody else to do your duty? Then what's of your merit? Now, coming back to the person-God idea, a person, a being, has to be in space. Limited. That means anything, that means what is beyond him. If he is everywhere, omnipresent, he must be everywhere. Then why limit him only to his being? Being is a limitation. Perhaps, you see, he has to be in space. Therefore, in manifestation, everything is in finite only. It has a date of birth, a date of death. It's all the time changing. Therefore, that is false stuff. Other thing, a being has to create. Creation is a prerogative of human mind. Absolute cannot think. If you say he's omnipresent, omnipotent and all that, then absolute cannot think. It's a prerogative of human mind. It has a limitation. Human being cannot think as all the great Einsteins all the time. There are other people also. The whole point is, this also a philosophical fallacy. That, you see, we can't make God think. And if we think it is a creator, right? You accept for a moment he's a creator. Then a creator should be able to create all the people equally. Why is it some people are born blind, some children are born blind? Some are lame, some are very intelligent, some are very beautiful, and some are ugly. But why? The peace is very partial. Then why is this partiality with all merciful? I mean, these are all questions that naturally comes to a rational mind. It cannot be answered. Then they also say, which huge human soul, the new soul is created. Then what about that means that God, who is all merciful, all kind, all loving, is also a culprit in the production of illegitimate children? But genuine questions, please. Have you thought about these things? That means he is a part. You know, I mean, there's an interesting story that once Padri was discussing this particular point with the Buddha Bhikshu. And Buddha Bhikshu, when he asked this question, God is also a culprit. The Padri was very clever. He said, my time is up, I have got some other appointment. Because it can't be answered. Man, isn't God so merciful? Why all these iniquities? A wicked fellow being born in a wealthy family and wasting his life all the time. And a virtuous man is living in poverty, not even able to have 2 square meals a day. But why? This also falls down. Therefore, HPP gives us the 3 fundamental propositions. I have to come to that. But unfortunately, as somebody wrote, in one of the philosophical literature, that the fundamental proposition is very easy to understand for some, especially those in India who are familiar with the Indian philosophy of Advaita, of Upanishads. Then they will be able to appreciate. Even many of the Hindus will find it difficult because they have been taught or inculcated right from childhood for this concept of God, personal God. Who has given the shape? All the pictures that we have is only the Ravi Verma's painting one. Who has seen Rama? I mean, of course, historical figure you might have seen, but even then, who has seen real God, the formless? Can anybody describe? See, if you see the very concept, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Brahm means to expand. We come to that, isn't it? To expire. Vishnu means to spread the one space. And Shiva is the salvation, the all-powerful. Therefore, Shiva points out the first fundamental. She says, yes, to the Westerners who have been brought right from that particular indoctrination, right from childhood, that man is born in original sin. Therefore, nothing can be done. He is imperfect. If he is imperfect, then there cannot be any improvement or become perfect at all without the help of a savior, personal savior. Therefore, you can do anything during your life, murder 100 people, and finally, when you take refuge through confession with Jesus, you are take a free ticket to heaven is assured. I'm not joking, it's there. Go to your theosophy and read. It's there. But is it possible? Then everybody can get the key to heaven. If you don't believe in Christ, eternal perdition. Is that right? Logical? It's a very serious question, please. Therefore, she says, there is no such thing as personal God. You may call us atheists, but we do believe in God. God is a divine, universal, divine principle. You come to that, I'll read that particular passage in the secret doctrine. Divine principle, which is omnipotent, omniscient, that is omniscient, sarvajna, omnipotent, all-powerful, sarveshvara, and then omnipresent. That is sarvavyapi, everywhere spread. That is why you have Brahma, Vishnu, and all. It is space. In the handout it is there. Then what happens? Can you think about it? Our thinking is a limitation. You can't think about that formless, the one reality, what the Vedantis would call Parabrahma and Paramatma. We can't think about it. Paramatma. Parabrahma. Beyond manifestation. But that way when you try to think about it, your very thought, you see, only will be darkened in the conception of that. Although we cannot think about it or argue about it, it can nonetheless be realized. As Shruti points out here, that one little drop of water on the hand of a person, he can know the source from which it has come. A person who is not tasted Alfonso mango at all, can you describe to him if he is sweet as a mango? It is as sweet as milk, as sweet as gulab jamun, or as sweet as this. He can't, he won't understand. It's only an approximation. Place the mango in his hand, let him taste it, he will realize. This is exactly what he says. Yes, man's spirit proves God's spirit. Although he cannot perceive with your naked eye and all that, it is realizable. In your hearts and hearts, sanctum sanctorum of inner sanctuary. The heart, spiritual consciousness. Therefore she points out, yes, she gives us, it's the rootless root of all, the causeless cause. It cannot have a cause. Then it is the beginning. This causeless cause, the rootless root, which Sanskrit is a the Vedantis would call a sat. Beingness, not being. Then she helps us to understand this abstract metaphysical reality in terms of two. And abstract is the space. Now, space is a very difficult thing to understand, to comprehend. Can we have a boundary to space? Think about it. Our mind reels. We say up to horizon. Beyond horizon, horizon forever recedes. This is regarding space itself, conditioned space. But what about abstract, absolute space? I mean, impossible to, it's incredible to even think about. Okay, they are talking in terms of sunya. Saifa means, look here, it encompasses everything. Manifested and unmanifested also. This is called the substance. Then there must be a principle also, because only they can't do only one thing in manifestation. Therefore she talks about motion. Motion is one thing. The movement, what is the movement? Our consciousness. It can, yes, go from one plane to another or one stage to another. Therefore, motion in that sense, absolute abstract. And then at the same time, she says, this one reality has no relationship whatsoever with conditioned universe. Or manifested universe, which is only a conditioned symbol. See, look, A manifested thing or only a thing, a finite thing, can have a relationship with another. Yes, there is a relationship between Bombay and Pune. Two things, separate things. Therefore, the distance is 120 miles or whatever it is. But absolute cannot have a relationship with anyone. It ceases to be absolute. We have the very philosophical correctness. Therefore, the great constitute, yes, to overcome this philosophical difficulty, they say that the one reality casts its shadow periodically, or reflection, or in one place, this would be says in the transactions, that it is only unconscious shooting forth of a ray, which is called radiation. You know, from that point of view, we are often quoted in this platform, it's a bit technical, but I will slow. The first lesson taught in the esoteric philosophy is the incognizable karana, that is causeless cause. Incognizable karana means causeless cause, the absolute. Does not put forth evolution, either consciously or unconsciously. I mean, it cannot. Because it ceases to be absolute. Therefore, listen, but periodically casts a reflection or a shadow. To whom? To the perception of great beings, finite minds. Therefore, the great ones, when they reach a particular stage, they bow down and all have reverence for them. The only thing we can think in terms of only thing is Mula Prakriti, the primordial matter, chaos, what is called chaos. And then that primordial matter is the starting point for Vedantins also. And they say the maximum a great sage can see only up to the Mula Prakriti, which is only a garment overthrown over the absolute. I don't want to go into technical things, but this has to be said. That's why it's called substance principle. Therefore, from the plane of absolute, when you come to the plane of reality, I mean this manifestation, which is an illusion, please, duality supervenes. In terms of spirit matter, it is spirit comes to the principle, that principle itself, the cosmic, pre-cosmic ideation, and the substance comes from the pre-cosmic root substance, that primordial matter. These two are in manifestation, become one. The third principle, which is called the fourth or intelligent medium behind manifestation. It is through this intelligent medium that the various laws, ideas, and plans in the divine mind are impression matter as laws of nature. Now this is the first one. There's two aspects it says. Spirit matter, life, and then one reality is dual aspects of the conditioned universe. I'll put it slightly differently. There is one reality, one composite reality which cannot be divided. Which cannot, it is absolutely one. It's not two or three or many. But there's two aspects of polarities, spirit matter. The spirit is, yes, we can look upon it as the ethereal matter. And matter is concretized spirit. This is your one, with two polarities. They are not different. They are coeval and coeternal. Therefore, in that case, every matter, atom of matter, is nothing but spirit. Therefore, if we point so, the whole universe is throbbing with life, sentient. There is not even a speck of matter which is not intelligent, which is not, you see, sentient. Please remember this. That is, every atom is throbbing, thrilling with matter, with that life. There is one absolute reality, becomes one absolute life, which becomes absolute life also. Pervades the entire manifested universe. This life manifests in terms of period, law of periodicity. I don't want to go into that also briefly tell you. Yes, that is why we have a period of activity, followed by a period of rest. Manifestation, non-manifestation. And this is so universal we are able to see in our daily life. Sleeping and waking. Can you work continuously without sleep? You have to, you require that rest in order to recuperate, to rejuvenate, without losing the continuity of consciousness. When you get up in the morning, you are the same person, you are not changed. See, this is daily happening. We are able to see, but we still we don't recognize. What do you say? So we might have had a nightmare in our sapna, the dreams, but when you take a thank heavens, it is one thing. You see, dream. When you are able to see the forms that you see in the dreams, on waking up or only illusion, then you have realized something. I mean, forget the words. I'm very forgetful nowadays. See here. When to himself his form appears unreal. I mean, he might have had a nightmare in the night. As do on waking, all the forms he sees in dreams. The same thing is about the physical body also. I mean, this is very shocking. Yeshua talks about it, this beautiful thing, as image. It's only an image of illusion. When the death comes, what happens to the body? Just like a bubble. And we are making so much fuss about the body. I mean, that thing, you know, we have to keep the body and soul together. But it has a certain limitation. We have to have proper volume, values. This is what happens. But there is something which doesn't die. We are talking about that one. That intelligence, functioning through man, through everything in nature. That is what makes the birds fly, the stones to grow. Even a stone, you may think it's dead. It's not dead. It's organic, it's changing. Anything that changes, life has to change, it's organic. Please, you may think that's very solid, it's not solid. Millions and millions of atoms are whirling at such a high speed that gives an appearance of solidarity. Same thing here. The first introductory speaker talked about 33 crores of God. It's all here, lives, various lives. This body has been built, you see, without any sound, gathering materials all over the cosmos, without any chisel or hammer. Yet, but this is the temple of sound, the tabernacle, which is the holy grail, where Aditya, the sanctum sanctorum of our innermost consciousness, which is the mightiest wonder in the whole of nature. You realize that? Saint Paul says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God?" What have we made of this temple? A den of thieves? Yes, where the titanic lawyer forces are all the time, yes, pulling man to animal level. Please understand this. If you are the microcosm and the macrocosm, if that one reality is here, should you not manifest that? What has happened to us? We have forgotten. We have just desecrated this holy God temple. That's why it says, money changes in Jerusalem. Then of thieves. We are allowing the thieves like this, all our bad, lower elemental to passion, putting us all the time. And we have bathed this body. What happens is, look. I'm sorry. Now, what do? People who believe in karma, or whether they don't believe in karma, what happens if some calamity happens in their house? Or somebody has lost a leg. They go to the Balaji temple or any district, probably to all the gods. And they bow down. See, this is the money changers of Jerusalem. Bhakar, yes, I will give you a silver leg, please make my the leg proper. What are you? Is it worthwhile? Is it not beneath the dignity of human being? Don't realize that what we are is with respect to what we have thought, found in our thoughts, and found of our thoughts. What have we done? Why are we in such a parlous state today? It's our own. The hand that smites is our own. Now, I'm completely gone away from the time. Now, you see, look, when everything is sentient and this thing, then what happens? Man is identical in physical and spiritual essence with one reality. Therefore, we say man is a microcosm and macrocosm. He has all the powers, the potencies and possibilities and the forces and the faculties, the one reality, manifested in nature. Not only the Absolute, but the manifested in nature, the Ishvara. We are nothing short of the Absolute. We are the direct ray of the Absolute. Then what else can be? Why is it that we are not aware of it? It's a shame on each and every one of us. As the voice puts it, yes, we have got the Tathagata light in us, which is not there, it's burning dimly, because we have to kindle through our higher limb, to control our mind, to subjugate our lower passions and desires. It is through the higher that we can control the lower. To purify oneself inwardly and morally, so that, yes, we can realize that is an alabaster vase, where the Atmic radiance is all the time burning. Do we realize that? The holy temple. Where two things can be done. It's depending upon our nature. If you are unable to subject yourself to the lower nature, then what happens? Only cat can be strong. It only, yes, titillates your lower senses. But you have to raise, control your lower nature by living the higher life, so that we can have a silver string which alone can tune the flute of Krishna, so that we can hear the song of Krishna within us. All the potential possibilities are there, but what are we doing? We have been talking theosophy for 40 years in Bombay, more than 40 years, in fact, right from 1929. Where are we? So the whole point is to what extent it has percolated our mind, not only mind, but elevated our consciousness to live the life necessary. So that's why it says, let's go back. You see, that's why then it says, yes, it also talks about one life, one consciousness, one law. The law which moves to righteousness. That is why man, see, there are three fundamentals. One is the deity, the law. The law is nothing but a functional aspect of the deity, and man, the evolution. Briefly enumerate the third fundamental, where it says how man is nothing but the Absolute. He is the emanation of universal oversoul, which is itself an aspect of the unknown world. That is, it is the manifested sixth principle in the cosmos. That's why our mind is nothing but the conditioned aspect of the universal mind, which is nothing but another name for the one reality in manifestation. Now what happens is, we have been through all forms. We have been through mineral, the elemental, the mineral, vegetable, and then animal kingdom. And then we have reached the stage of man. That's why Shubhi talks about three lines of evolution. The monadic, spiritual, then manasika, intellectual, and the physical. She talks about evolution. Not only evolution, evolution. Because unless something is involved, cannot be gone. But she talks about emanation. And emanation, the spirit involved in its matter and evolving through mind. Now, therefore, to that point, a man, having got obtained the gift of the mind, he has become a conscious, deliberate thinker, chooser. Willingly he has to think and choose. His father cannot do it for him. However much the child, the mother may like the child has to eat and digest. It is each one of us has the potentiality by choosing to so live. He can also ruin his life by going against the current of karma. But you see, if he only is able to control and conquer his lower nature, he can become one of the greatest, mightiest Jnanchakshus. This is the vast scheme of evolution put forth by Theosophy. And the whole discipline is sadhana, the various things that are given here. we can read some other things, then you will see. From the remotest antiquity, mankind as a whole have always been convinced of the existence of personal spiritual entity within the personal physical man. This inner entity was more or less divine, according to the proximity of the crown of the crystals. To what extent we have made our physical brain porous to that place. It's all the time there. The Tathagata light is all the time burning, but we don't recognize it. Suddenly it cannot come. The world needs no sectarian church, whether a Buddha, Jesus, Mahavat, Swedenborg, Calvin, or any other. There is being one true man requirement, one church, the temple of God within us. Wanted by matter, but penetrable by anyone who can find the way. See how beautiful it is. What thick cranium is there. It's very difficult to penetrate that. But it can be done. Penetrable by anyone who find the way. That's why, who can find the way? The pure in heart see God. Magnificent. How can you make a heart pure? It's not going to the doctor and getting transfusion of blood. Not at all. It's nothing to do with that. It's our beauty. Our thoughts, through three avenues of action. Mano, vaka, kaya. And through that, if we can have the high thoughts that we had on Friday, it's possible for us to awaken the third eye by having a permanent conjunction between the manas and buddhi. Buddhi manas conjunction. In a spiritually regenerated man, it's all the time permanent. Even beyond the threshold of devaha. But avera, all the potentialities are here. Every man has a God within, a directory of the Absolute. I mean, this is beautiful. HPV statement, please. A celestial ray in the one that he has gone within, not outside of himself. The only God man comes in contact with is his own God, called Spirit, Soul, Consciousness. Then how the world comes and all that is given in the other as a key to theosophy, quotations and all that. Then, you see, I'll read this couple of things only. The closer the time is running out, unfortunately, the closer the approach to one's prototype in heaven, the better for the master whose personality was chosen. It's the same idea that comes in the Kathopanishads. Where it says, when the vehicle is ready, the ego chooses the vehicle. I don't have time to go through that. Then, by his own personal deity, see in heaven, the better for the master whose personality was chosen by his own personal deity, the seventh principle, as his terrestrial abode. That means we have to make this vehicle so pure, so transparent, to allow the yes, that divine light to penetrate. But every effort of will toward the purification and unity to self-God, one of the lower rays breaks and the spiritual entity of man is drawn higher and ever higher to the ray that supersedes the first, until from ray to ray the inner man is drawn into the one, the highest being of parent's son. Then we will close this. A couple of quotations from the Upanishads. One, see, there is ever deepening awareness in the human heart about divine compassion that pervades the entire universe. This we call religious sentiment. Then, there are four great statements in the Upanishads. One of them is, I am really the Brahman. Then how is it? It's man's spirit that proves the God's spirit. Radhakrishnan, one of the great philosophers and statesmen, writes, the consubstantiality of the spirit in man, consubstantiality of the spirit, is one and identical physical and spiritual essence with absolute. The consubstantiality of the spirit in man and God is the conviction fundamental to all spiritual wisdom. It is not merely a matter of inference. It's a beautiful statement. It's not an inference, it's a fact of nature, which has been experienced by great ones. In the spiritual, it's not merely a matter of inference. It's a spiritual experience itself. The barriers between the self and the universal spirit drop away. What are the barriers? Our lower personality, lower desires and passions. We belong to the real, and the real is reflected in us. The great text, Tati Tvam Asi Adavartav, Tat Artav, is a simple statement of experience fact. I and my father are one, is Jesus' way of expressing. And there is another one which we close. This is from Visharasha Upanishad, the 7th verse, but this is a better translation here, given by Mr. Judge. What room can there be for sorrow and what room for doubt in him who sees and knows that all creatures, all creations are same in kind, differing only in their degrees of intelligence? We have 2 minutes left, but we can take some time to ask questions.
Concept of God has led to different religions. So why not have only one religion and forget the different branches of religion? The concept of God is only one.
Concept of God has led to many religions. So why not just make it into one religion, because there is only one God, and forget about other branches of religion?
It is not the concept of God that made different religions peace. Not. If you have the correct concept of God, you will have only one religion. Humanity. One religion. It is the so-called followers of priests and, followers which you have vulgarized, concretized after the prophets go away. We will give you a simple example. This oftentimes we are given here. There was a guru. You see, who is to teach his disciples silent meditation. And then sometimes the cat used to come and disturb the meeting. Therefore, the guru used to tell students to tie the cat. The guru passed away, his disciples also passed away. Then after 100 years, other disciples came. And their condition was to have the silent meditation, you must bring a cat with that. This is one thing. They always to bring a cat. This is what has happened. Go to page 503, Secret Doctrine, Volume 2. Why do you become like this? It is only after the Atlantean war with the early Aryan race that it came like that. I don't want to read that paragraph. It's very damaging. It's there in Secret Doctrine. The left-hand hand people, that is black magicians, have spoiled everything and brought in all kinds of things. It is a religion. In the name of religion, it divides man from man. As we said earlier, the original meaning of legere or religion is to bring back, bind back humanity in one home. What is that? That is why I read that paragraph. You know? It is theology which makes people, ignorant people, to clash to it. They have come here through theosophy to break all that and deliver man his freedom of thought so that he can realize he is one with God. Thank you. No, I'll take it already. Oh, thank you.